So I hope you have your thinking caps on, because you are going to need your thinking caps today. We have the potential to go probably deeper than most of you ever thought you wanted to go or needed to go. But I'm going to keep it somewhat deep, but also very applicable to where we all exist. And so we're going to be in the book of John this morning. John chapter 1 is where we're going to be. If you do not have scripture in front of you, if you don't even own a Bible, we want to put one in your hands that you can use, that you can take home, that you can read on your own. So if you don't have one today, if you just simply lift your hand up, we've got a guy that'll come around and put one in your hands. Don't be embarrassed. Not a big deal. We just want to make sure you have a copy. There's one right up here as well. Anybody else? So will you stand and give us your name? I'm just kidding. Isn't that fun? That's so fun for me, not for you. Right here. Thank you. Appreciate your honesty with that. Appreciate it. And listen, you can keep that. Please, it's our gift to you. We want you to have that. And so if you're unfamiliar with where John might be, just kind of open it up right in the middle. And then probably head to your right and you'll find the Gospel of John. Hey, we need one more right over here. They got you, Amanda, coming. So super glad that you are willing to look into the Word with us, and super glad that you're here. Glad it did not snow. Amen. Like, I know kids are like, no. And we wish it would have snowed 10 feet. But glad that you're here. Two weeks ago, we started on this journey. We're kind of continuing God's story, but now we're going to look at it from the perspective of Jesus. And so we're gonna go away from the Old Testament, enter into the New Testament, where we find in those first four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, a great pictorial history of who Jesus was, what he did, and what we can learn from it. And then really the rest of the books in that what we call the New Testament is just a great living out of other people's lives and what we see, what God did through them, and kind of lessons that we can learn of how we can really leverage God and leverage our opportunity to serve him throughout our lives. And listen, this life is tough. It's a hard life. It's not the easy road by any stretch of the imagination. If everybody ever told you that coming to Christ is just all going to be easy and perfect, they absolutely lied to you. It is hard and it is difficult, but it is extremely rewarding. Not just because you get heaven, but because there are great rewards that you can experience right here, right now in your everyday life. Today is going to be no different. We're going to continue in this story, but we're going to bounce off what we talked about 2 weeks ago. And we talked about this whole thing that Jesus said that he did not come to bring peace, which is kind of different than what we've always thought, because Jesus is God in the flesh. He came as a baby. He's peaceful. He's helping people. And what he meant was that he didn't come necessarily to bring peace to the earth, but peace to individual people. The problem is when that happens, those that don't receive that peace or don't even understand that peace, you're going to butt heads with them, or they're going to butt heads with you, not because of you, but because of him and what he's doing inside of you. And so we talked a lot about that people are going to be frustrated with the peace that God provides for you inside. And if we are all honest, that's what we all want. That's what we're all looking for. Not the headbutting and the strife, but the peace with inside of us. It's why you're here. It's why you spend time in prayer. It's why you read your Bible when you do. It's why you at least attempt to make changes in your life, because you are looking for something. And the world will tell you, here are all these other things, try all these other things. And what we are here to offer you is the root peace of all peace. And that is Christ. It is a relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And so today's going to be no different. We're going to kind of get to the place of, okay, well, if that's the case, how do we do that? How do we get to the place where we can just have peace? And did Jesus model that for us? And my answer to you is absolutely, he did. So here's how it starts. Leaving all behind starts your story. Leaving everything behind starts your story, meaning you may need to leave old friendships behind to start your relationship and journey with God. You may need to leave some old habits behind to start your relationship with God. You may need to make some personal changes within yourself in order for this relationship to really start, the story that we're talking about. All of us have to leave something behind. And here's the kicker. Because I can do that. I know that when I accepted Christ at 6, and then really when I was a teenager, I really made that life change to more of a relationship thing rather than just a bunch of do's and don'ts. I had to make some conscious choices to say, okay, that was my old life. I'm not doing that anymore. But what was fascinating to me is that it didn't stop at that initial decision. 5 years later, 10 years later, there are things that come up, and I'm like, well, where did that come from? And guess what I have to do for my story to continue? I have to leave it behind. I shared with you 2 weeks ago things that God is still working on me, 42 years old. Been saved since I was 6, and he still comes to me and says, hey, Alan, that's not okay. We got to work on that. I need you to leave that behind. And can I just tell you how painful and hard that is? Because that's my comfort zone. For me to be able to come back at you puts me in a place of self-preservation. I'm going to get you before you get me. Right? Come on. That's where we live. And yet God, to me, says, Alan, that's horrible. The people that you're trying to get are people that I created and that I love, and you're mistreating them, and you need to change that in your heart. That's fun. That hurts. And it's overwhelming because it means I have a lot to change and a lot to work on and a lot of people watching. It's going to hold me accountable. Right? And yet, I believe for me and for you, the journey starts with accepting Christ, but the journey does not end there. And inside that journey, God is going to visit with us constantly and consistently in order for our story to continue to be glorifying to him, saying, hey, here are things you need to change. Here are things you should work on. This isn't really working. Let's try something different. And I would contend that many of us, as believers, that is why we are not growing anymore, is because we are scared of what God is going to say. Here's what you need to work on. I'll amen that. You don't have to. But that's the truth of the matter. And so for us, if we want our story to either begin or to continue, we've got to leave some things behind. In fact, in the Old Testament, we talked about all of these characters and all the people that did some cool stuff, but think about what they left behind. Abraham, when he left his family, he left the comfort of his family. He left the gods that he used to serve. He left all of that in order to start his story with God. He left it all, never to return. Moses, listen, Moses was brought up in great Egyptian training. He was very knowledgeable and all that, but he left that behind in order to follow God. Ruth left her heritage. She was a Moabite. And she had the opportunity to go back home, remarry, have kids, have a great life. And she said, I don't want that. I want the God that you serve. He will now be my God. That's leaving a lot of heritage behind in order to pursue something that she was unsure about. Or maybe she was very sure about it. Samuel. Now, Samuel didn't have a choice. Remember, his mom kind of plopped him at the front steps of the church. Please do not bring your children here to do that. Sorry. But that's what she did. She offered him to the Lord. So technically, he didn't have a choice. However, he could have walked away at any point in time. But he saw the value of saying, you know what? If it was important to mom, if it was important to God, I'm going to keep going with this. And that's what he does. David, his family didn't even like him very much. And so he left all of that behind in order to pursue God and to do the right thing. Esther was royalty. She was the queen. And she put that on the line and said, I'm willing to let that go in order to serve God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Like, that's a big deal. And then when you got Daniel and Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those guys put their life on the line. You can tell us to do whatever you want to do, but I'm telling you right now, we will give our lives to glorify God. My question to you is this. What did you walk away from, and what are you still holding on to that you need to walk away from? Maybe you today, this morning, have never walked away from anything to start this relationship thing with Jesus. That may be like foreign language to you. It may be new to you. And if it is, I am so glad you get to hear about it today. Because I'm telling you right now, all the garbage that you're dragging around that does not bring peace to your life, you can leave it at the altar today and accept Christ as your Lord and Savior and leave here a peaceful person, knowing that God's going to continue to work on you as you continue forward. That's exciting. You may not think it's exciting, but from a guy that already experienced it, is on the other side of it, I'm telling you, best decision of your life. It'll be scary. It'll be overwhelming. It's going to be a lot of hard work. But I'm telling you, the rewards far outweigh every bit of that stuff. Some of you have been doing this for a very long time, but you've become complacent in your walk. You are happy and safe in your own little Christian bubble. I want to pop that joker today. I want you to get away from what you're comfortable with, the sins that you're holding tight that nobody else knows, that you think is okay before God. I'm ready today to challenge you to leave that mess behind and go after a God that offers you peace that will far outweigh those things that you're trying to carry around. That's the challenge for you today. Are you willing to leave behind in order to continue the story and to bring glory to God? You ready? All two of you. Fantastic. Here we go. Let's go to John chapter 1. Again, if you're unsure where that's at, it's about, if you find in the middle and then go to your right, you'll end up at John. I have a bunch of red letters in it. Those are the words that Jesus actually spoke. And so in John chapter 1 is where we're going to start. In verse 14, now we're going to go back to 1 through 5, but it's imperative that we get to verse 14 first. For me, verse 14 sets the foundation of everything that we're going to talk about, because if we can't understand verse 14, everything else is going to be kind of go right over your head, okay? So verse 14 says this in John chapter 1. Man, my page keeps turning. And the Word. Now, if you'll notice Word in your Bible, most likely it's capitalized, and it should be if it's not. When it talks about the capitalized Word, it's referring to God and all of that, okay? So here's what we've got. And the Word became flesh. Now, if you've been in church all your life, you know what we're referring to. We're referring to Jesus, okay? If you've never been in church any time in your life, when you see a capitalized word like that and it's talking about coming into flesh, we are referring to the man that we know as Jesus, okay? So the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So right there, the very Word of God became flesh as Jesus, and he lived among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, you may be thinking, okay, I get that. Why do you need it? It's important. Because when we go back to verse 1, it's going to start making some statements and some claims that are vital for us to be able to continue through here to understand what Jesus is trying to do and what he's trying to communicate. Everybody with me so far? I'm trying not to go too deep, but deep enough, but not to lose you, okay? So, verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word. Now, again, that word is what? It's capitalized. So, in the beginning was the Word. Well, we know that the Word became flesh, which we know the Word in flesh was Jesus. So, in the beginning, Jesus. And the Word was with God. Jesus was with God. And the Word, Jesus, was God. Now some of y'all are saying, whoa, stop, time out. You talk about God, you talk about Jesus, you talk about the Holy Spirit, there are three people in one. Now you're telling me Jesus was there when God was there? Yes, but not how you think. We think when we hear Jesus, we hear tiny little baby Jesus, right? And so if Jesus is the Word and he was with God in the beginning, how could tiny baby little Jesus be there? Because he wasn't in the form of tiny baby little Jesus. It was the Word of God. His very Word, his very essence of who he was. And when his essence, his Word, comes to life, he came in flesh to model for us everything that God had tried to get us to see in the Old Testament. And so in the beginning, the Word, his spoken word, God, was there. They were all together. And then his Word became flesh. And the only way that we can try to understand that is Father and Son. That's how it's explained. It does not negate the importance of Jesus at all. In fact, it heightens the importance of Jesus to know that he wasn't just a man. He was the living, breathing Word of God that has always existed and always will. All the way from the beginning of time. That's important. Verse 2. He was in the beginning with God. John, in the beginning of his gospel, in the beginning of his account of the good news of who Jesus was and all the cool stuff that Jesus did, he states, He's not the coolest because of the miracles. He's not the greatest because of his wonderful, kind words and actions to people. He's the greatest because he's always been around, all the way from the beginning, when God created everything. Verse 3, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. I want you to think about this. If all things were made through him and he is the Word, how did God bring everything into existence? He spoke it. His very Word, Jesus, was there. Y'all with me so far? I'm telling you, man, you had to put your thinking caps on. In him, Jesus, the Word, was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Jesus has always been here. Now again, that's hard for us because we celebrate the birth of Jesus and the death of Jesus. So how in the world can a human guy be around all the time? Because he wasn't just human, he was fully God as well. And that's complicated for us. I get it. Trust me. Listen, I could really go off on a tangent here because we did on Tuesday. That just would make your brain swim. Not intentionally going to do that today. But someday. This is so huge and monumental. So when we think about all of these things, the very first thing that we have to understand and that we have to build from is that the Word of God is Jesus. It is the very representation of who he is. The very things that God spoke all the way through the Old Testament that the children of Israel and everybody else could not figure out. God said, you know what? I'm going to model it for you. I'm going to show you what my word looks like. You can't get it. You haven't gotten it this whole time for these thousands of years. Now I'm going to show you how exactly I want you to live this life out. I'm going to take my word and I'm going to put some flesh on it, and you're going to call his name Jesus. And he is my son, and you're going to watch how he lives this life. Let me tell you something. That's how much God loves you. That is how much God wants to have a relationship with you. He knows we can't figure this thing out on our own. And he sent the perfect example, himself in a human form, to say, here's how you do it. It's great. Athanasius, which we've talked about Athanasius before, is just an old dude that wrote about a bunch of good stuff based on scripture and his understanding of it. And so I wanted to share a little bit of a quote with him. He says this: all the attributes usually only applied to the one God. Wisdom, truth, light, righteousness, virtue. So he's making the statement. He's already saying, listen, when we thought about those things, wisdom, truth, light, righteousness, and virtue, we always attributed those just to God. Fair enough? Okay. He says, the Son is not as properties that he has acquired from outside himself, nor as if he were himself merely an attribute of God. So he's taking this. Okay, all of these things, we've always attached them to God. The Son is not an extra added thing. He didn't get those things on his own or from outside anywhere else. He just is. He says, but he is these things in himself. He is those things. He embodies virtue. He embodies righteousness. He embodies all of these things that are moving forward, that are God. He is God in the flesh. He didn't attain anything extra. He just is. He says he is what it is to be God, and so is the exact image of the Father, his perfect fruit. Even Athanasius says, listen, when you see Jesus, when you read about him, when you understand who he is, you are getting a perfect picture of who God is, because you're the same. When we move on in verses 1 and 2, it talks about that he has always been from the beginning. He was with God all the way back to the beginning. And that when he came in flesh, to where we could see it, to where we could understand it, to where we could touch it, to where we could just get it. It's so much bigger than the fact that Jesus just showed up, did some cool stuff, died on the cross for us. Are you tracking with me? Like, God, the great creator, came to live on the earth with us. He came in the flesh to show us, this is how I want you to do it. Listen, it's like parenting for most of the time. Parenting, I will ask my child to go do something, but I'm not willing to model it in front of them, and then I get frustrated with them because they didn't do it right. Amen. I do that all the time. That's just how we parent. Sally is much better at that than I am. She models everything perfectly. Filter. All right. So, what if God had done that to us? Hey, I gave you all the Old Testament. I gave you all that stuff. You still ain't doing it. Well, stinks to be you. You know what he didn't do? He didn't do that. He said, you know what? You didn't get it the first time. I'm going to come show you. I'm going to model it for you what this is supposed to look like. I have a philosophy that I've always tried to operate by. I'm not willing to ask you to do anything that I'm not willing to do myself. You know why I do that? And can I tell you how many gross things I've eaten in my day? How many dumb things I've done in my day? But how many people I have encouraged and strengthened because of that philosophy? How can I be a good leader if I'm not willing to do the things that I'm asking you to do? How can I be a good parent if I'm not willing to, in front of my kids, do the things that I'm challenging them and asking them to do? It doesn't work. And God recognizes that, listen, if they can't see it, if they can't figure it out, I need to go and show them. I need to live it out in front of them, give them a full-on display of how this plays out. And that's what he did. I think it's interesting that in Genesis 1:1 and in John 1:1, they start the same way. In the beginning, God, and in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So John is saying again, dude, it all goes back to the beginning. This has been around forever. It's always been this way. And if we can't get to that place, everything else we're going to do from here on out is kind of meaningless. We have to trust in that. When we get to verses 4 and 5, he talks about he is life, that Jesus is life. If you can remember back in the time where you accepted Christ into your life as your personal Lord and Savior, you remember that joy, that overwhelming, energizing feeling that you got. May it have been short-lived, I don't know, but you at least remember that. Because in him there is life. He says, when accepted as truth and Lord, when the Word, when Jesus, when God, when they are accepted as truth and Lord, life truly begins. And what's cool about all that is this. All the things that I could not see before becomes illuminated. Now, let me stay here just a minute in camp. I get frustrated with myself when I get too tied up with seeing things how I want to see it rather than how I should see it. Okay? I know that I do that with my kids, I do that with my wife, I do that with our staff. Like, there are times where I just kind of get colorblind and I see it how I want to see it and I'm not listening to anything else. And the reality is, that is something that God, again, comes to me and says, Alan, you're being an idiot, you can't do that. I don't need you, Alan, to see it how you want to see it. I need you to take a deep breath, step back and see how I see it. I need you to allow the Spirit that lives within you to take those dark eyes that you have looking at the situation, and I need light to be brought in to where you not only see this situation, but you actually see what's going on behind it that I'm actually at work at that you're getting ready to mess up. I need you to trust me. Alan, I need you to let your emotions and feelings go. The desire to be right, the desire to be heard. Let that go and just trust me by doing what I've called you to do and let me work out what you may not see just yet. But I'm telling you, if you will let me do that, Alan, I will illuminate your vision to where you can see really what's at play behind the scenes. Is that not what we all want? Do you not get sick and tired of opening your mouth way too fast and just botching up everything that's in front of you? I hate that. Dude, it drives me nuts. Part of that is me needing to take a breath, take a step back, open my eyes and see what needs to be seen and not what I want to see. It's letting that go. Because when we are living with Christ, when we are allowing the Spirit to have full reign within us, He illuminates our vision to truly see the issue at hand, which generally is not what we saw the first time. Amen? Amen. So, if He, Jesus, the Word, was in the beginning, which we are all on the same page, I hope, with that He was. If He is the very Word of God, which we absolutely believe that He is the Word of God. John just clarified all of that for us. So He was the Word of God. He still is the Word of God. He was in the beginning. He still is in the beginning. If He left everything, well, what did He leave? He left glory. He left Himself. Let that swim around in your brain a little bit. He left safety. He came to live on a fallen rock, full of sin and despise and shame that He knew was coming His way. He left all of that to come live here, to model for us. If He left everything to model for us what true life should be like by sacrificing it all, we have to ask ourselves, now what? If that's what Christ modeled, if He says, if you want eternal peace, true peace within your life that people are not going to understand, that they're going to butt heads with you about, here's how I do it. What are you going to do about it? Listen, I look around this room, and I know some of your stories, not all of your stories, which is probably good. But I'm not dumb. I know the reason you come to church. You're hoping that God will just miraculously fix everything without you having to do anything. And the reality is it don't work that way. Sorry. Can God? Absolutely He can. My God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ever ask or think. I know that He can, but I do not believe He always works that way. I believe He responds when we respond. He's waiting for us to step out and say, I will leave that behind. Not because Alan's asking me to. Not because I think it's just a good thing. Because I know that that's going to hinder my walk with You, God, and I am leaving it behind today. And let me tell you something, that's very difficult. That is hard, it's overwhelming, it's scary, it's not fun. But again, if we can stop seeing how unfun it is, how scary it is, how overwhelming it is, and see on the other side the illumination of what really is coming from behind there, and live in that moment rather than the scary moment, I'm telling you, things will be different for you. But it starts with leaving it all behind. So there are four different passages we're going to quickly look at just to make sure that we understand what Jesus was really getting at here. And in John chapter 1, verse 38, 39, here's what He says. He says, then Jesus turned and seeing them, so there are some disciples and some guys that are kind of following Him, and He says to them, what do you see? So basically, He feels the presence of a couple of guys, and He turns around and says, can I help you? What are you looking for? What do you seek? And they said to Him, Rabbi, which is to say, when translated teacher, where are you staying? So they simply ask, Rabbi, they recognize that there is something special about this guy, something that intrigues them, something that they think they want, but they're not sure, but they're willing to go and find out. And they say, Rabbi, where are you staying? Kind of a weird question. And He doesn't even answer it by saying, I'm at the Motel 6 down the road. Or I'm staying at this person's house for this long for this purpose. He simply looks at them and says, come and see. Come check it out. You really want to know? I'm not going to give you the details that you're hoping for. You see, when we do that, God, I want you to fix this. I want you to do it this way, and I want you to do it this person, and I want you to do it at this timing. And if you can let me know some more details of how it's going to play out and how it's really going to fix itself, that would help me. And Jesus says, no, you just ask, let it go, and then just come see what I'm going to do. We don't like that. We are detail-oriented people. We want to know how, when, why, how much, how often, how bad is it going to hurt. Jesus says, come see. Listen, if we trust Him the way that we say we trust Him, when He says, come and see, we know He has our best interests at heart. and we can simply walk away from whatever we're carrying, whatever we're holding against other people, whatever our own junk is. We can leave it all behind knowing that God is going to help us in the interim to get to where we need to be. And he's going to do that for his very spirit that lives within inside of each and every one of us when we accept Jesus, his son, when we trust what he did on the cross was enough. And notice their response. Love this. They didn't say, well, where? How long? What do you mean? I don't know. Well, I got to go do this. They came and they saw. They didn't hesitate. They didn't wait. They were curious enough. They dropped everything and they went. Now, for me, that's intriguing. That's exciting. But I've been doing this a little while, and I know the benefits of just going and seeing. It wasn't always like that. I could probably take you back to our church in Black Mountain, North Carolina, and show you maybe some spots on the pew from where my fingernails had dug in. I wasn't ready to move. But the more and more that I experience his grace and his mercy and his kindness and his long-suffering and all of my junk, it is easier for me to say, God, where are we going this time? What is it that you want to work this time on? And he doesn't give me any details. He just says, Alan, trust me, come and see. It's getting easier for me to say, okay. Someday I hope to say, you don't even have to tell me, I'm coming. I know you're working on me, I'll meet you there. I'm coming. Not there yet, but I'm getting there. In Luke chapter 2, another instance. This is right after they had been back in Jerusalem and they're getting ready to leave. And he ends up at the temple and his parents have zero clue where he's at. And so they find him and he says to them, why are you looking for me? Do you not know that I must be about my father's business? Now, I don't know what kind of conversations they've been having. He was probably maybe 5 to 10 years old, maybe 12 years old at this time. And maybe they'd had the conversation of, okay, this is how you came about, like you're a special child, like we got visited by angels. And I'm thinking maybe that when they came to him and said, what were you thinking? He looks at them and say, what do you mean, what am I thinking? Dad, don't you remember those angels that came to visited you? Like, you knew what to do there. Mom, don't you remember the angel came to talk to you? Like, you knew that this was going to happen. You knew that this is the type of person I am. Why in the world would you think I'd be anywhere else? And he says, this is where I want to be. Mom, Dad, I'm not being disrespectful. I'm not trying to just do my own thing away from you. But God, this is where I want to be. I want to be with God. I want to be with my Father. I want to be with him. What if we got to that place? What if we got to that place where we're willing to say to our coworkers, you know what, I know that's where you're going, but that's not where I need to be. I'm going to let you go, and I'm going to go after God. What if we were able to say that to some of our spouses? Because I know everything's hunky-dory in our church with our spouses. Exactly. It's not. It's hard, man. And that's where, what if we got to the place where we said, you know what? I know that's where my spouse is at. I'm going to leave them there and I'm going to go after God. Not intentionally leaving them behind. Not intentionally to throw it in their face. Not intentionally to do anything except for I'm going to focus on my relationship with God and trust that God knows them well enough and is more than capable to do more with them than I can. I've got to do me first. That is not divorcing them. That is not separating them. That is you taking care of your spiritual walk first before expecting them to do anything about themselves. In Mark chapter 1, Jesus says, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe in the gospel. And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus says to them, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. So get this picture. Jesus is just having a nice little morning walk down the beach, sees two dudes out fishing on the boat, and he hollers out and says, hey, I want to do something different with your life. I see that you're a good fisherman. I want to take that and I want to tweak it just a bit, and we're going to go after people. Are you in? Now, you will notice if you were to read the rest of the story that they didn't say, let me talk to my dad. Well, how far are we going to go? What do you mean? Do I need to bring my net? The story goes on. They hop off the boat and follow. No details. No extra conversations. No excuses. They just go. What is it that's holding you back? What excuses are you always coming up with to say, God, I can't because of this. God, I don't want to because of this. God, I don't know because of this. Every single time he's saying, let it go. Let it go. I will take care of all that. Let it go. Come see what I've got going on over here. I need you over here to work on you about this thing. We'll deal with that later, but let it go. I will bring it up when it's appropriate and when you're ready for it. If we could ever stop thinking that we know what's best for our lives and realize that we don't, but he does, I think that come and see thing would be a lot easier for us to respond in a positive manner. But we think, well, I'll just do this, and I'll just do this, and I'll do this, and that's going to make me feel better. The whole entire time we know it's not. We're fooling ourselves. The reality is you got to let it go. Let it go. Whatever you're carrying, whatever baggage it is, whatever you're holding over on somebody else, please, I'm begging you, let it go. Allow the Spirit of God to illuminate your vision to really what's going on, and let the Holy Spirit come to you and say, come see what I want to do about that. Let him do it. Stop trying to fix it on your own, because you can't. You won't. You'll mess it up. And in Matthew chapter 3, this is when John the Baptist was baptizing and Jesus shows up and he says, hey, I need you to baptize me. And John's like, no. It's the exact reverse. It's the exact opposite. Like, you need to baptize me. And Jesus says this, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he, John the Baptist, allowed him. What's interesting about that is this. Jesus is God in the flesh. Does he really need to be baptized? No, but in order to fulfill all righteousness, he had to leave that behind and follow in obedience. That's Jesus. And we think we don't have to do that. We can carry around this junk that it's going to be okay. That God's just going to say, oh, well, it's not that bad. Just keep bringing it. No. God wants us to leave it all behind and follow in utter obedience to the very end of our lives. Because when we can leave it all behind, our journey begins. And as we continue to leave things behind, our journey continues. And it becomes more and more glorifying to God than ever before. Here's the thing I want you to get. There's a standing invitation to leave it all in order to gain all. Now, when I say to gain all, I'm not talking about money, fame, fortune, houses, stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about when you leave all of your junk behind, you are gaining every portion that God would have you to have in your life. Peace, contentment, love, joy, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, self-control, the fruit of the Spirit now indwells within you. But if we are too busy carrying this junk that we're not willing to let go, it's going to crowd out the things that we were meant to carry. We must let it go. Some of you are harboring some things that it's ridiculous that you're still carrying that around. And I get it. I know you, all of y'all are looking at me thinking, well, you just don't know how hard it is. You're right. I do not. I don't. I have my own things that I have to carry around that I'm processing through. But don't tell me for one second that the same God that raised people from the dead can't relieve you of the junk that you're still trying to carry around. Don't tell me that. Because I will tell you, you don't trust him. I will tell you, you're not giving him his fair shot. Because you are enjoying your misery to some degree too much. God wants you to be free of a lot of things. But it starts with you letting stuff go and going after him, knowing that he's going to work on you, but being okay with it because he knows best. In John 14, 23 and 24, it's the last scripture we have today. He says, Jesus answered and said to him, now watch this, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. If you truly love Jesus, you will do what he's asked us to do. Now, I don't know about you, how you may be able to read that, interpret that any different than what it says, but man, if you can, you're awesome. Because he goes on to say, he will keep my word. Not only will he recognize that this is what I'm supposed to do, but he'll keep it. He'll do it. He'll let it be deeply ingrained in him, regardless of what everybody else is going to do. This is between me and God. And when I hear his word and it pricks my heart, then those are the things I need to bring internally and do something about. Agreed? He says, my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Again, Jesus in the flesh, God in the flesh, is going back and saying, listen, this has always been from the beginning. When I look at this statement, and I recognize that we all live different lives. For some of you this morning, this whole language and stuff has been probably a little too deep, maybe a little overwhelming, but you recognize that something is stirring within you. And the cool thing is, what I want to tell you what that is the Spirit of God saying, hey, I want you to pay attention about something. I want you to know that there's something that I want to talk to you about, something I want to work with you. Are you in? Essentially, what he's doing is he's walking down the seashore of your heart saying, hey, will you follow me? The question to you is, first timer, will you follow him? Because all he's saying right now is just come and see what I have to offer. Come and see. Come try it. Come check it out. Come just see what it is I'm offering you. For some of you, you've been saved quite a while, but we've become a little complacent in our Christian walk. We've come a little too accustomed to the things that we're holding on to, that we're dragging around, and we're just kind of okay with it because we've learned to deal with it. What if this morning, right here, right now, God is working on your heart through his Spirit saying, hey, I need you to let this go. Come and see what I can do with this. Come and experience what I want to do by bringing you peace in this situation of your life. Are you willing to say, I hear you, and I'm willing to come and see? As our praise team comes, I just want you to know that for our story to either begin or to continue, we've got to come and see what God is offering and what he is calling to our heart right now in this moment. And in just a moment, I'm going to pray. And as I begin praying, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or stand or anything like that. I'm going to leave it up to you and God. And as I'm praying and before we begin to praise the Lord this morning, please come. Come and deal with whatever God is dealing with your heart right now in this moment. Listen, don't leave marks in our chairs. If you know God is working on your heart, come and talk to him. And you may say, I don't know what to say. Great. He does. I will be in the back. I will gladly meet you back there and talk with you. But as we stand to our feet and go to the Lord in prayer, I want you to be thinking now, do I need to move? Do I need to come to the altar this morning and just come and see what he has to offer? Because I'm telling you, what he has to offer, you can't find anywhere else. Would you stand with me as we pray? God, I thank you for who you are, and I thank you for your truth, your love, your word. God, I appreciate the fact that you came in the flesh in the form of your son, Jesus. That you took the very word that was spoken in the beginning that has always been, you brought it and you put it right in front of us and said, here's what it looks like. What you gonna do? And God, there's no doubt in my heart and in my mind right now that you're working on hearts that need to let some stuff go, hearts that need to leave some issues that they're wrestling with even now at the altar today, because you are calling them to come and see what you want to do in their life. Lord, we get so caught up with fix everybody else, and God, we need to fix ourselves first. May you do a work in the hearts of those that are listening clearly to your Spirit this morning, that you give them the courage to move out, and that when they do, God, you speak loud and clear to them in a way that would comfort them and allow them to know just how real and amazing you truly are. Lord, I appreciate the way that you move, appreciate the way that you work, and I invite your Spirit as we sing now to do what only He can do. In Jesus' name.